Come now to, we're still in point five, open-minded humility versus quenching the spirit. August 11, 2013. And what I want to do today is finish the description of open-minded humility, and then next time we'll work on its relationship to the quenching of the spirit. So I'll emphasize the quenching of the Holy Spirit, but and not doing that. So we've come down, you know, we had an introduction, we dealt with humility, then we dealt with openness, and we went through three stages. First, you must, for openness, you must display a comparative spirit. Second, you must engage empathetically. Third, you must willingly dialogue. And now we're on this fourth one. You must take on an objective posture. Now, before we kind of step into the fourth one, I'd like to ask this question, just like a review. How can you defend the idea that the first three qualities are all essential to meaningful openness? Is there a way you can help me state that? I mean, you know, I'm just, this is like a discussion question or a just kind of review question, but that you need all three. Like, if you started with one, you have to have a comparative spirit, but why is that not enough to be open? Why might that not be enough? You know, it's kind of, I think of these as cumulative, you know. I'm hinting. Anybody want to say anything to that, or just whatever your thoughts are going to get into this?
I want to try to walk in his shoes.
I'm lost.
You're lost?
What are the three?
The three are, the on openness, you must display a comparative spirit, you must engage empathetically, and you must willingly dialogue. I just want to review those three first before we go to the fourth one.
But you're saying, why are those three necessary?
Yeah, that you couldn't have one and be open or sufficiently open.
Right.
You have to have all three. So if you had the first one, why isn't that sufficient? If you had the second one, why isn't that sufficient? I guess that's kind of how I'm trying to...
So it looks like the three of them stand together because comparative spirit shows you're comparing this spirit to that spirit, this position to that position. But then empathetically, I am empathizing with his position.
Mm-hmm.
I am giving him a hearing, so to speak.
And what would be? Why is that needed? What is done to comparison if you don't do that? What happens is the
Say you do compare,
but you don't add empathy to it. What do you wind up doing, or what's the picture?
Yeah, you're not seeing what his position is.
Okay, you're not going to see it clearly. We argue that from Martin Luther, like he talks about, you have to empathize to really understand.
Right.
If you don't empathize, you compare. Why would you compare if you don't do it empathetically? You compare in order to...
tear down.
Just to tear down. So comparative spirit is not enough. You're just being critical.
Very good.
You have to add empathy.
Yeah.
But if you compare with empathy, that's still not enough to really be open. Why?
Yeah.
Because you could compare with empathy and do what?
Have your own opinion, your own dialogue. You can talk to yourself.
Dialogue.
Right.
You
can do that in a limited way.
Yeah, very, very
narrow
way. Like, yeah, we say one-shot deal. Okay, I'll compare, and I'm even going to empathize with your view. But you just get one crack at it, and you know, by saying you just get one crack at it, you're just really squeezing the thing down. You're not going to open up and engage, really. So it's not really open, unless there's dialogue added to the comparison and the empathy. All right, now...
Because we all know that things don't get settled like that, right?
Right. That's
intuitive. It's like everybody knows things don't get settled like that in one go. So to say you only have one go kind of says you're not open.
Yeah, it really does. It really doesn't, and it doesn't allow...
It can't be settled in one go, but you only have one go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, really. And that's like we said. You know, my wife and I will not understand the same term the same way. It takes us a week to get on the same wavelength. You know, talking over things over and over again.
Just a week.
Just a week.
Whoa.
Actually, it's been 40 some years. I
mean, still, I've been working on it for 55 years.
She's saying, "Watch it."
The look.
We use terms in certain ways. And we have to get into that. We'll say more about that here even on this. So you need dialogue. Now, let's add one more. Furthermore, engaging empathetically in comparative dialogue does not make for open-mindedness or openness if, for example, we stiff-arm and polarize the situation by various expressions of a subjective posture. So I'm adding that fourth one. You need also to have an objective posture. And what do I mean by that? Anybody want to just throw it out, or I'll go into this a little? Let me go jump in, or I'll read a little further.
I am convinced of my position, my idea, and my thoughts, and you're never going to change my mind.
Okay, that's a very subjective posture.
So,
okay.
Go ahead.
We need, okay. Go ahead and try.
I'm never going to change my mind, but go ahead.
Yes, there's a certain tone. So let me, I know you on this, let me read a little. Polarization, it polarizes, right?
Yeah.
Polarization closes down rather than opening up discussion.
Amen.
The subjective posture manifests itself in statements like, "I know I'm right, I know you're wrong." In addition, it can be subtle. You may not say it like that.
Yeah, I'm all right.
But you could say, you might say it in tone, gesture, or in your overall approach. For example, some people never ask questions of their pastors or other people that they disagree with on things for clarification, information, and learning. Instead, they only offer objections or alternatives. Now, there is a time to be a learner is a lesson sometimes difficult to apply to ourselves. Some people listen only long enough to disagree. They have a penchant for disagreement. They disagree immediately. They must relay some other side even before the whole picture they oppose is given. They interrupt flow of thought, thus divide and conquer by fragmentation. I'm trying by these, assembling these things. I know we overlap with humility and other things, but I'm just trying to paint a picture of an objective posture versus a subjective posture here. Any thoughts? Go ahead.
You've left out what my friend